Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. Getting rid of the last bit of the 1-2 frog before I start talking here, or hopefully. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, December 3rd. Spoiler alert, Christmas is 22 days away. 22 days. That is just wild, wild and unbelievable. And I am, as always, I'm just very, very happy to be with you today. Excited to get to the teaching segment where it's going to be part two of what I talked about last week, finishing that up, and just so much good stuff to share today. I really do. But I want to tell you just a funny story. Jay and I were just talking before we started about, you know, our holiday, Thanksgiving. And I hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving. Mine was a blast. I mean, it was just so much fun being with my brother and sister-in-law and their my niece, nephew, their spouses, and their two little, my brother's two little grandchildren, Eloise and Sterling. So it was just all family. Well, I take that back. There was a friend of Travis's that came, who was a really nice guy. I've met him several times before. So the funny story, and this is, you know, I always say that my brother and I turn into 8-year-olds when we're together, and we do. I mean, we're just, I don't know what it is, but it's just magic. Honestly, it's magic, and it's delightful, and I hope it never ever changes. But so we're sitting down to have dinner, and my sister-in-law always gets Christmas crackers, you know, those things that you pull apart and they kind of explode a little bit, and there's a paper crown inside, a tissue paper crown that everybody wears during dinner, and there's always some silly joke and a toy, you know, a treat, a surprise of some sort, and they're all different. They're all different. So they're always sitting beside our plates. And after Steve says grace, then we pop them and we put on the crowns and everybody reads their joke around the table and we get our prize. And so it just happened that as we popped them, my son, FaceTimed us with his family, his kids, and we got to say hello and kind of passed my phone around the table and said hi, and they said, well, we know you're just getting ready to eat, so we just wanted to say hi and wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. So it was a really short call, but so we had dinner, and it wasn't until after dinner that I looked in my Christmas cracker and I got my joke and my prize out, and my prize was this little blue frog. But he was just like, he wasn't a solid frog. He was plastic. And it was like I don't know how to explain it. It was like an outline of a frog, so to speak. And where his tail would be, which frogs don't have tails, but where it would be if a frog had a tail, there was this little tab. And I said, I showed Steve, and I was sitting next to my brother, and I said, okay, I got this frog, but I don't know what it does. And he looked at it and he goes, oh, you push that down and he jumps. You push the tab down and he jumps. And he was like, just this little outline, this little structure of a frog. So he jumped and Steve goes, let's make a drinking game. I went, well, I really don't think that's what it's for. You know, I mean, it was a toy. So anyway, that began about an hour-long competition and flipping that frog and trying to get it into the next person, the person who's sitting next to you, into their drink. And we laughed. It was really difficult to do. I did it once. Steve, my brother, of course, did it 4 times, of course. and the other guys around the table were did it a couple of times, and man, they got competitive. I mean, it was just absolutely hilarious. It was the funnest and funniest thing I've ever seen. And it was just funny to see the competition. I mean, like Travis was coaching his friend Jeremy where to put the frog before he flipped it. And I mean, it was just fun. And it took on a life of its own. And, You know, obviously, it really doesn't take much to amuse us. It really doesn't. And rarely, rarely in that the course of time that we played it, did it land in a glass of any kind. But it landed in the butter and it landed in the cranberries. And it was just funny. It was just really, really funny. But that was just a delightful and fun Thanksgiving, one that I probably won't forget. That was one of the best. But anyway, I just wanted to share that little story with you because I hope your Thanksgiving was lovely. Maybe it was just peaceful, maybe it was just whatever it was. But whatever it was, I hope it was good. And I just want to say thanks again for listening today. If you can, please join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment, and I will answer them after the show. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. And if you stop by and don't, or you don't see me online, or if I'm busy on a call, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text and I will get back to you as soon as I can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. We do have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. And then we celebrate any, you know, new and full moons or holidays as well. So if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And all that entails is you leave your email address. And then you get postcards and you know what we're doing all the time. And if you're going to come by and see us, if you've never done that before, a time, date when we're on special, which means reduced rates on calls and chats, is a good time to do it. So anyway, also I want to remind you of the gratitude board on 12listen.com. You know, this is up until the 21st or 22nd of December, which is the beginning of winter. We are still in fall, still in autumn, which is the time of the harvest. So this is a great time to put what you are grateful for on the gratitude board on 12listen.com. And because the advisors at 12listen add our intention to yours, we moderate that board 24/7, and you can post anonymously. So, you know, a lot of times gratitude is a giant. I can't come up with the right M word for gratitude, but it's a massive, powerful tool. It really is. Because the more you are grateful for anything and everything, the more you will have to be grateful for. It's attractive. It's very, very attractive. So, you know, post what you're grateful for, if it's in your experience or if it's something that you're working to bring into your experience. But if you're working to bring it into your experience, you're working on changing your consciousness. It already exists in your consciousness. So be grateful for it and post that on the gratitude board. So I just want to thank you again for listening. However and whenever you do, there is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com, and there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can out and you can download them anytime you want. You know, sadly, inspiration does not come knocking at your door, but staying inspired is critical, especially on the spiritual path, especially on the path. But it is critical if you're not, you know, for anyone, because this is an existence of cause and effect. And when you're inspired, you get more to be inspired about. You keep your cork afloat. When you're raising your vibration by working on yourself, however you do that, it's important to stay away from negativity. It just is. It just is. Again, cause and effect. You think about something negative, pretty soon it becomes a little resonant in your head, you know, and you're thinking about it and you have conversations about it, thought loops and all that stuff. And then it brings, of course, with it emotion. And then, you know, it's so easy to just go down the rabbit hole. And honestly, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Stuart Wilde said, you know, that when you've raised your vibration, if you allow yourself to become negative, if you allow yourself to get caught up in something that you don't want to experience, something negative, or worry or fear or anything, you fall from a greater height because you've raised your vibration in consciousness. So you fall from a greater height in consciousness, and it takes a lot longer to get back to where you were. And I know that one. I know that one really well. That is true. So 1-2 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support. So I encourage you to take advantage. Take advantage. Stay inspired. Keep yourself up. Whatever, however you do, 1-2 Radio is a source. Whatever makes you feel good, whatever makes you feel good, you know what it's like when you feel good. You know what it's like when you're wearing the right clothes, or you've just read something that just blew your head off in a good way. You know what that feels like, and you know how to get it back. You know how to get it back. So it's important. Anyway, off on a tangent, sorry. Thank you, Jay, for producing my show today. I appreciate it and all that you do for 1-2 Radio. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song by Tashaya called Coming Home. This is from the Buddha Lounge 2 CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I am very happy that you're here.
No more, 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 afya mzee vipi? Wowo tukira mana barara turakina ubukeye mu gatondo maheza ngasezera babizi n'abakuru
mene mama.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that song. I love Tishaya. So last week I spent the show sharing the wisdom of John Randolph Price and his book Empowerment. And I reacquainted myself with it and had to talk about it with you because it's so powerful and expansive. It's kind of like I went to that book to look up something that I remembered reading in there, and I hadn't read it in a really long time. And it just exploded, you know, in a really good way, obviously, but it was lovely. You know, it was really, really lovely. If you haven't listened to last week's show, I invite you to do so because this is a continuation. And when the show ended last week, I was going through the 10 steps to manifestation or 10 steps to the fulfillment of your dreams. And we made it through the first four, which I will recap before we go on to the remaining ones. But before I go into the 10 steps, I want to start with the quote from Ernest Holmes that I ended the show with last week, because it really sets the stage. You know, Ernest Holmes wrote, "You exist that this power may have another unique outlet for its expression. The more life you express, the more of it flows through you. Therefore, every legitimate desire you have is the pushing of this power through you into its own self-expression. In this way, you are in partnership with the infinite." And that's from his book, This Thing Called Life. So, just to recap, from John Randolph Price's book, Empowerment, the first step step one is the principle of attunement, which is the foundation for the other nine. And he wrote, "This step is based on opening your heart and mind to your spiritual nature. It is tuning into that presence and power of God within you and recognizing that the mind and power of the infinite is right where you are, individualized as you. And going back to basics for a moment, I believe that you will agree that the Spirit of God is everywhere present, all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful. Now, the beautiful and fascinating thing to me is that this eternal selfhood began to individualize itself as me, as you, even before we came forth as distinct units of consciousness. In order for you to exist, infinite mind had to conceive of you, and this focus of you on you was the beginning of the individualizing process out of which you came into being. As the universal divine sonship contemplated itself as you, a state of consciousness was expressed or pressed out. an individual energy field, a force field of consciousness appeared. Now remember what the word consciousness means. It is awareness, understanding, and knowledge. And that original state of consciousness that you had was a super consciousness, which means a super awareness, a super understanding, and a super knowledge of God. When you are super aware of something, when you have super understanding of something, that something literally becomes your consciousness. The thinker and the thought become one. So in truth, the reality of you is God knowing itself as God, God knowing itself as you, and you knowing yourself as God. This trinity of knowingness becomes one in consciousness, the master consciousness of the master self within you, which means that each one of us is a living, moving, walking, talking, rainbow-colored energy field of God. And within that energy field is everything we could possibly desire, not only for this life, but for all eternity. We have the kingdom now. So he goes on to say, now think of that master self, the reality of you, around you, and through you, occupying the same space that you do. To get the full impact of this awareness, you have to feel it. So think on this idea for a moment. There is a super consciousness of God within me now. It is the master self that I am in truth. The master consciousness that I am. It is closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. I look within and sense this all-knowing mind, and I feel the presence of love in my heart. Step two is the principle of choice. I wrote in the Super Beings that you should focus your thoughts on what you really want in life. In other words, before you reach the level of consciousness where choices of self, capital S, are automatically outpictured, you must assume the authority to choose the things, circumstances, situations, or experiences that you deeply desire. Knowing that desire is the first step in the action cycle. Without desire, nothing happens. Without desire, the universe and planet Earth would not have been created. Without desire, you would not exist. Where do desires come from? Unselfish, good-for-all desires come forth as an activity of your higher self, stirring you to realize that it wants to do more for you, through you. When your aspiration is for something that cannot hurt you or anyone else and will bring good into your life and the lives of others, it is your spiritual self tugging at your heart's door, trying to get your attention. So decision, you make a decision and you don't waver. You know, Reverend Dyke said, the power of a made-up mind is the power of God. Decision creates a channel through which the God mind moves. It does. I'm sure you know the feeling. You know, if you're unsure about something, you're not, you know, should I do this? Should I not? You know, it's a decision in front of you. When you're unsure, your feet are off the ground until you decide. Then you feel the power of source behind you and things get started. Things get started. He said that all good things, all the good that God has for us, has already been given to us, given to the reality within, All the good that God has for us, let me get back to this, has already been given to the reality within, our higher self. In truth, we do have everything right now, but we have to claim it. In essence, we are choosing the spiritual equivalent for that which we desire in physical form. And when we choose it, the spiritual equivalent moves into the manifestation chamber where it becomes the mental equivalent of the physical form or experience. Everything is stepped down from spiritual plane to mental plane and then proceeds out into the physical world to appear in material form. Step three is the principle of acceptance. Simply stated, this step means that you cannot have the fulfillment of your desires without acceptance. When you choose something, the spiritual equivalent will move into the subjective area of mind, and that is the subconscious. That is God. That's the witness, the subjective. That is only the witness, is seeing, is hearing, is living us. That's which lives us. So into moves into the subjective area of mind, but unless you accept it right then, it will leave and return to the higher realms of consciousness. A spiritual equivalent does not stay where it's not welcome and accepted. From the writings of Ernest Holmes, we see that spirit cannot make the gift unless you accept it. Life may have given you, it may have given everything to you, but only that which you accept is yours to use. That's really important. These are all really important. And hopefully are like hellos, you know, hellos. Oh, there's a process. You know, this outlines a great process for manifestation. So we accept so John Randolph Price continues, so you accept the increased income, the new job, the new car, the new home, the new relationship. Once you choose what you want, you accept the thing or experience mentally and with the fullness of your feeling nature. So Yos Anderson said, we choose and accept, choose and accept. That's what we do. The spiritual storehouse, also known as the kingdom of heaven, is within us. Everything that we could possibly need or want is contained there. But we have to accept that what we desire is actually ours right now. Think about that. That hit me like a ton of brick. Yeah, okay, I accept that. No, what we have to accept is that the thing that we desire, we already are. It's ours right now because it is our consciousness. It is that the kingdom of heaven within us, God, source, life. So we have to accept that what we desire is ours right here, right now, right here, right now. So I'm just going to leave that with you. That's a good one to take into meditation. And that kind of, like I said, hit me like a ton of brick, that way of thinking about it. step four is the principle of have. When you accept something, you have it. And have is capitalized. You have it. Even if what you accept is still in invisible form. If you have a need and spirit gives you the fulfillment of that need and you accept, your consciousness will begin to shift from a sense of need to a sense of have. The fulfillment is yours even before you see it in visible form or experience. And when you have something as part of your consciousness, you can, I am it. It is with affirmative statements and thoughts. For example, if you choose and accept an all sufficiency of supply, the pattern of that divine idea is established in mind. Therefore, in truth, you have the abundant supply, and you make it a reality in consciousness by personalizing it. I am the lavish abundance of the universe, individualized. All that the Father has is mine, and my prosperity is assured. I am now filled and thrilled with the consciousness of abundance and plenty. Do you see how do you see now that an affirmation at this step in the process becomes an acknowledgement? That's huge. An affirmation, you know, I think of a way of thinking of affirmations when we start doing them is we're convincing ourselves. We're convincing ourselves of, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever your affirmation is. But in this step, when you actually have the thing, you've accepted it, and now I have it. If I've accepted it, I have it. And you do have it because it exists in your consciousness, but you're bringing it into your conscious mind, not, you know, kind of out of your divine consciousness, the spiritual mind, into your conscious mind. And so it's not, I'm convincing myself that I have it. I'm acknowledging. The word know is in the word acknowledgement, right? I know it's mine. I have it now. at ICI, the Interconnection Institute, where I was educated, we worked with a vibration called havingness. You can imagine that vibration filling you in, chakras, cells, aura, mental, emotional, and physical bodies. You can just imagine that. Havingness is the ability to have. So in working with this principle of have, you know, filling in, imagine yourself filled in with the ability to have. And this vibration of havingness is a cool thing. And it has a neat feeling to it. So on to step five. Step five is the principle of visualization. And this is where we start. This is where we ended last week. We ended at step four, have. Now, the principle of visualization. When you use the imaging powers of your mind, you are working as self, capital S, works. Through the power of creative visualization, you are in the closest proximity to the activity of God mind. Remember that energy follows thought, and it is through controlled imagination that unconditioned energy is conditioned into thought forms, which produce the effects on the physical plane. You create form out of thought substance through your power to visualize, either by sharp and distinctive mental pictures or by sensing and feeling the image of fulfillment and completion in your mind. In the manifestation process, I use the word visualization more often than imagination because I'm talking about controlled mental picturing. To some people, imagination is like daydreaming. And while that activity does have its place, it does not have the power and thrust of mental images that have been scripted, produced, and directed in your mind with you in the starring role. With this kind of disciplined mental production, you can truly mold conditions and shape events. When you visualize or practice controlled imagery, be sure to experience the fulfillment of your desires in the present moment. Always work in the now, and instead of seeing yourself on the stage of life, having, being, and doing according to your heart's desire, you must be that person. Seeing another face and form that looks like you enjoying health and wholeness does not have the power to properly condition the energy. You must combine your conscious awareness with the form and experience and feel the perfection throughout your being. You must live the prosperity, the ideal relationship, the true place success in your mind as the one personally enjoying the manifest good. Capture the view of the quote-unquote happy ending, the finished episode. For example, if you want a new car, experience your conscious mind, the feeling nature and physical body as having, driving, and enjoying that car. Constantly remembering that it is yours now. Do not imagine yourself sitting across from a banker trying to arrange financing. Jump across time to the end result. And be sure to add color, dimension, and sound to your mental movie. See the beauty of your imaged environment. Watch the movement of people and bring in life and dimension to their activities. Listen as your friends congratulate you on your radiant health or your new success and prosperity. Create a masterpiece. What you see is what you get. So create a masterpiece for yourself, not outlining your good. How your good is to come to you, or how your desires are going to be fulfilled, that's none of your business. Just know that what you are seeing in mind, spirit will create in form and experience in perfect ways for the good of all. And just one final thing on visualization. He says another point, every scene, every picture, every character and every situation in your mental play must be totally positive. Do not allow one single negative aspect to enter your mind during the process. Always see the best. Always image from your highest vision. So Neville said, you know, live from your desired end result. No matter what you see in the outer world, controlled imagination, clear feeling yourself being, doing, and having your desire. Step number six, the principle of love. While you're visualizing your good, be sure to love what you see. This is so powerful. While you're visualizing your good, be sure to love what you see. Pour all the love you have into those finished pictures. Generate that warm, passionate, and powerful feeling of love, and let it radiate through those images in your mind. Remember that love energy is the most powerful force in the universe, the power behind the whole thrust of creation. And that love power will clothe your images with radiant substance for perfect manifestation in the physical world. Substance is the creative energy of everything visible and the divine idea underlying all physical manifestation. When you consciously radiate the energy of love, when with purpose of mind you send forth currents of love through your mental pictures, when you love what you see with deep, deep feeling, you are propelling the substance and giving it a clear path to follow as it moves from cause into effect. Substance is the raw material out of which everything visible is formed, and love is the animating force that forms it. When you love what you see with all your heart, your mental images will stand out with great clarity and will become real, substantial to you. Through the love vibration, you unite consciousness, conscious, subconscious, and superconscious phases of your mind, and you truly embody the pattern that represents the fulfillment of your desires. Love power will help you to realize the truth of that which you are seeking, and this realization must, by law, outpicture itself into your world. As above, so below. As within, so without. Wow. That in and of itself is enough to just, you know, ponder for a year, if not more. But through, you know, through love, and even just the principle of love, sending love into the world, not only for your manifesting, but just sending love into the world, not only loving your desire, but loving every person, every living thing, prepares the way for you and whatever you have to do. It's just an all-encompassing, all-inclusive, no-lose practice. It really is. So step seven, the principle of the spoken word. God made individual being, male and female, by the power of the word. And each one of us is a co-creator with God using that same power. As Jehovah said to Job, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee." Most of us don't realize the power of the spoken word, but it is spelled out very clearly in Proverbs. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Every word you speak causes a vibration in the universal energy field, and the effect of that vibration returns to you in direct response to the nature of the word. It is impossible for your word to return unto you void. Matthew 12:37 states it this way: by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The words that you want justified or proved right in the manifestation process are the spoken words of faith that acknowledge the action of spirit. It is the closure to your active part in the treatment sequence. Through your words addressed to you, the only consciousness that could possibly restrict your good, you let the manifestation take place and you firmly declare, "It is done." It is knowing that you have faithfully done your part and you are calling on your energy of faith to stand guard at the door of your consciousness and to keep that door open for the outpouring of substance on the wings of love. When the faith faculty is called into action, through your use of the spoken word, it becomes the foundation of your belief system. It takes your words, "It is done," and responds triumphantly, "And it is so." And remember, that the activity of faith, of the faith center causes a chain reaction in the other power centers on the subconscious level to give you even greater authority to shape events and create new experiences in your life. It is done. The principle of surrender is step number 8. In this step, you let go and let spirit do its perfect work. Sorry, I hit my button on something. Okay, let's stop over. The principle of surrender. In this step, you let go and let spirit do its perfect work in bringing forth the fulfillment of your desires. It means that you are totally willing to accept the way and the truth of your divine consciousness, which is always so much more than you could possibly conceive. God's will is goodwill. And as that will is made manifest in your life, you will see that spirit wants more for you than you want for yourself. More supply than you have asked for, more joy, peace, and beauty, a perfect body rather than just relief from pain and sickness, an ideal relationship instead of one that will soon fade away. When you surrender to God, you are surrendering to a greater good and a higher degree of happiness than you have ever known. At this step in the process, you release your desires. The visualized scenario, your willfulness, your entire consciousness. You turn everything over to the master consciousness within and let each and every detail of your life be perfected by divine vision, power, and action. You get out of the way of the divine circuits and let God be God. And how will you know if you have truly surrendered? By the total lack of concern, anxiety, and outside pressure in consciousness. This negative energy will have been replaced with positive vibrations of peace, joy, and confidence. And you'll find yourself beginning to live in a state of grace. He said, now there are two ways of letting go and letting God. One is to turn everything over to spirit while maintaining the same state of consciousness that produced the problem in the first place. This is like saying, prosper me, heal me, but you've got to do it without my help. It doesn't work that way. But it does work when you let go and let God work through your uplifted thinking and feeling natures. It does work when you surrender to spirit after you've done your part in raising consciousness. That is when you begin to live under grace. The love of God in action, where cosmic law works on a higher frequency to dissolve the negative appearances and make all things new. I don't know. Those are my three magic words of surrender. I don't know. I know what my desire is. I know I have it. I've accepted it. I've chosen it, I've accepted it, I have it, I've infused it with love and visualization, I've seen it, I know it in my being, but I don't know how it comes about into this physical plane. But that which lives me does. Therefore, I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for it to that which lives me, the infinite God mind that meets every demand. Surrender. Power. That was my power teaching, has been my power teaching to me, for me, of myself for the past couple years now. And believe me, surrender is golden. It really is. Step 9 is the principle of gratitude. This step represents a joyful heart filled with praise and thanksgiving, an overwhelming feeling of gratitude because you know, capital K-N-O-W, that your problems are solved and your needs are met. Always remember that your desires are first fulfilled in consciousness, and then they come forth in the outer world, clothed with materiality. So the secret of this step is to be thankful while your good is still invisible. You cannot wait until you possess the visible form to express your gratitude, or you will delay the entire process or cancel it altogether. Once you've surrendered to the good will of God in step 8, everything is go. From that moment on, the universal creative system is in operation, and the activity of spirit is moving in divine order. But for you to be in tune with all channels that Spirit has selected for your good, there must be a deep feeling of gratitude in your heart. Gratitude releases a dynamic current of spiritual energy to go before you to exert a mighty influence in your world. It not only eliminates negative patterns in the subconscious caused by ingratitude, it also forms a connecting link, a bridge between you and every possible source of good in your life. Of course, there's only one source, but divine mind works in mysterious ways to perform magnificent wonders through an infinite number of channels. And through a feeling of gratitude and praise for the master consciousness within, you put yourself in alignment with all of the riches of the universe. Now tell me, have you ever seen anyone with a grateful heart lack for any good thing? Neville wrote, "A proof of this established consciousness is given you in the words, 'Thank you, Father.' When you come into the joy of thanksgiving so that you actually feel grateful for having received that which is not yet apparent to the senses, you have definitely become one in consciousness with the thing for which you gave thanks. You are ever receiving that which you are aware of being, and no man gives thanks for something which he has not received." That's from Neville's book, At Your Command. Step 10, the last principle, is the principle of action. So after you complete your spiritual treatment, you must move into action. If you sit around waiting for God to drop good, your good, into your lap, you'll be shown scores of new ways to sit. Because the law works through you according to your activity now. While we're doing our spiritual work, we must also use good common sense. We rise from our prayers, meditation, and spiritual treatments and follow through with the action that is intuitively indicated to us. We make a definite move, which the masters call the positioning process. We position ourselves through action in order to receive our good. When you complete your spiritual treatment, move out into the world to do that which is before you to do to the very best of your ability, always listening to that inner feeling for guidance. If you're out of work, take the first thing that comes to you while continuing to work spiritually for your true place of employment. If you're out of money, find a way to earn some and do the best you can, even if it's sweeping floors, while you're working on a prosperity consciousness. Remember that God always meets you on the level where you are in consciousness, which means that regardless of where you are in your spiritual development, God can and will meet your needs, but you have your part to play as co-creator. And the greater the sense of separation from God, from the Spirit of God within, the greater the activity on the physical plane must be, with each action dedicated to honoring your God self. So it's back to in this moment. In this moment, what am I called to do? What am I called to do? He says, you know, for example, if you're still filled with fear and doubt, even after your spiritual treatment, then get as active as you can and as quickly as you can. Begin to clean the house or yard or car or office as it's never been cleaned before. Or complete that project that you've been putting off and do it to the very best of your ability. Once you've completed this initial work, turn within and ask your higher self, "What would you like me to do now?" The thought will flash into your mind and you must follow. You must follow through to the letter. Through these activities and the expenditure of physical energy, you will find burdens dropping from your shoulders and a sense of peace entering your consciousness. Through your actions, you'll not only eliminate your fears, but also the cause of your fears. When this happens, your intuitive faculty will open again, and the hunches, the inner feelings, and the guidance will come forth to lead you in the direction that God wants you to go. And follow each lead, thinking of each one as a vital link in a chain reaction that will result in the fulfillment of your desires. Step out into action today and do what needs to be done. And soon you'll find Spirit working through you to perform all that is appointed for you to do. You will then live your life as a beholder of God in action, and your earth will truly be your heaven. Yow. Incredible, just incredible. As Ernest Holmes wrote, and I've shared it before, activity is genius, The man who is active in his thought doesn't have to sit by himself to think. He works while he thinks, and so complies with the law, which has to work through him. The thought of activity makes him move. The thought of confidence makes his movement sure, and the thought of supreme guidance makes his work intelligent. And that's from The Creative Mind and Success. You know, I love the way this all worked out for me. You know, I went back to John Randolph Price's book, Empowerment, because I was looking for what he wrote about love. That led me to the 10 steps or principles of manifesting, which unfolded into two shows. And how often in all of that was love one of the key ingredients in those steps? But I want to talk about love, but I'm in the last minute of the show, so that will be next. Well, next week, CA will be my guest. So this will be the show on this, I think it's the 17th, the Tuesday before Christmas. That's perfect, because I've got really good stuff to talk about, and just this was not enough time. But those 10 action steps are concise and simple. The book is called Empowerment. The author is John Randolph Price, and I don't know, it just makes my head want to explode, which is a good thing, is really, really a good thing. So anyway, we're in the very last minute, and I just want to thank you for being with me today. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that was powerful for you as well and expansive. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment. We are here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. I wish you a very, very blessed week. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, followed by Christina LaFrance. Bye, everyone.